Hey, we're back.
We're back. We ride.
We're back for the stars. How are you, sir?
Dude, doing great. You just had a full week of fantasy analysis preparation for week one. Like, scouring the waiver wire, making trades, picking up players. It's just like putting on an old pair of shoes.
It's good to be back. It couldn't have come any sooner. It's so good to be back. We got a game in about an hour and a half.
So ready for it.
Fantasy rosters are set. It is time for the best part of the year. We're 3 or 4 months away from Christmas. This is fantastic, baby.
Okay. So I hear you saw your first eight today.
I did. So as I told you before, I have not seen over seven in a month.
Okay.
It's been very disappointing. I'm sitting today in the cafeteria, and it's a Harry Potter-themed King's Cross train station cafeteria. So, firstly, it's sick. Anyways, I'm sitting there by myself, and all of a sudden, I see this girl get up with her tray and start walking with one of her friends, and I was like, I got like an initial glimpse. I was like, who's that? Like, it was, I don't even know. It was like I saw like light for the first time because it's been just so long. So I looked away, and then as she got closer, I just looked again and we like made eye contact. She was an eight, dude. She was so cute. I was like,
they exist. They're real up here.
My hunger has been quenched. It was a good day. It was a good day mainly because of that. The rest of the day sucked, but that was a silver lining. And now we've got football, so it was a great day. That's the entire story.
That's fine. There's hope there. I like it. I mean, who knows?
I know.
Maybe you see her again?
I know. Okay, so last I heard was you've given up on love, and it was doom and gloom, and I was feeling bad for you.
Okay.
Give us an update.
So we've had a full week of – gosh, how would I even describe it? Like surfing. I've never surfed, but we had that moment where, you know, I was down. I just wiped out. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get back on the board. Okay? So, do you remember I told you about Sydney, like, weeks ago?
Yes.
I saw her when she first moved in, and I hadn't seen her since.
Yes. Right?
So, this past weekend, I was working alone. I got to talk to her twice. It was great. And I made her, like, she's got such a nice laugh. And I made her laugh, like, great. Like, it was awesome both times. And it's just those little moments like that, that just, like, you know what? Maybe love's real after all. Maybe this is, like, a real thing. And so, come Sunday, I talked to her twice, made her laugh both times, we had a great conversation. I was back on my board. I was riding that wave. I was just going.
Good, dude. Good for you. What'd you guys talk about?
Gosh, so when she came in on Saturday, she was asking questions about her insurance because I had left her a voicemail telling her she needed insurance, and okay. It was just progressing from insurance to, you know, her teaching style as a TA to, it was just like all this stuff. And on Sunday, it was just kind of building off that from yesterday. It was good. It wasn't like anything like specific at all. Just a bunch of nonsense. I loved it. It was
good. Good, dude.
And so we were closed on Monday for the holiday, and then we have Tuesday.
Okay.
Or no, Wednesday. This was yesterday because okay. I worked in the morning. We have Wednesday. So I'm sitting there, and we get our first package shipment from, you know, the post office, whatever. So I'm just logging in some packages, and then this van pulls up, and this guy walks in with holding this thing of flowers. And he's like, I have a delivery for Sydney. And I'm like, no, in 434. And that's her. I'm like, oh, no.
What?
So he puts the flowers out on the desk. And I have to sign for them. I can't tell you how much of a blow to my pride it is to have to sit there and sign for her flowers from another guy. But so I didn't know they were from another guy then. I just suspected. So I signed for him. He left. Meg was in the bathroom. My general manager was sitting there in her office. And Alex, I tried. For a brief moment, I tried to resist my curiosity and temptation to not look at the card that was on the flowers, and I couldn't do it. lasted literally like maybe a second and a half. And I was like, I gotta know who it is. And so I opened it and I was like, to Sydney, hope this brightens your day, beautiful. Love always, Chris. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, and so my gosh.
She came down like 20 minutes later for the flowers, and she was so happy to get the flowers. And she was telling Meg all about Chris up in Rhode Island. And I'm just like,
oh,
there's like seven people in Rhode Island. I'm losing to one of them right now. So I crashed, you know, came off, shattered, the board broke again. And just kind of, I'm not like as despondent as I was, but I'm not 100% hopefully. I'm just kind of just standing on the board, waiting on a wave to come.
Okay.
That's it.
So firstly, I want to applaud you for getting back on the board. That is so courageous an effort just to pull yourself out of the water and onto that shaky board. Mad props to that.
Thank you. Mad props. Thank you.
This flower disaster that followed should not shake your confidence. You still talked to her. You felt good about it. It was a good conversation. You made her laugh. You couldn't help it that some moron up in Rhode Island is sending her flowers. So feel good about yourself.
Okay.
A new wave is coming soon. I heard there's a tsunami coming. I don't know.
I'm on the lookout.
Huge wave.
I got my barometer high in the sky, just waiting on it.
The pressure has changed in the atmosphere.
Dude. So,
but here's another thing. What is it with these girls who have these boyfriends who live way too far away?
Thank you.
What is going on in the world?
How I don't know.
Comfortable do girls get? I think it's a mixture of – I think it's mainly social media.
That's literally what I was about to say. Like, this has to be the first time in generation, like ever in any generation, that have been so many long-distance relationships.
Yeah. I mean, back in the 80s, 70s, forever, when people go to college, they're off the grid. Like, they lose touch with their high school friends.
You have to break up.
You have to break up. You don't have the hometown flings anymore. It's over. You're in college. It's like a new bubble you're in. But now it's like this bubble is just expanding. You can FaceTime every day. You can Snapchat 100 times a day. Send texts. You're never really leaving. And it just helps these girls stick with these guys. And the other thing is that these girls go on social media and they see these other girls posting with their boyfriends. And those are the posts that get the most likes and blah, blah, blah. So they feel like they need to have a boyfriend to get the social approval and just to be comfortable socially. They don't have the balls to dump them.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if, like, even – like, there are some girls that, you know, they don't – like, I don't think they need that social approval, but they have already so many – like, they're tagged in so many pictures of their boyfriend. Like, their whole social media has always, like, just – because we were hit that age where social media, like, exploded, right, when we were, like, you know, getting into being adults. And so now their whole social media title is, like, tied to some other person. And so if they break up, well, that's like thousands of pictures. I got to go and untag and delete. Like,
that's a good point. They're kind of like entwined in their life story, even though that is the dumbest thing ever because Instagram, like I heard a quote, it's never have lives less lived been more documented.
Ooh, deep.
And I was like, that's sweet.
Poetry snap.
That's sweet. But like, I just don't get why these girls live through social media and why they get so comfortable and don't have the balls to look for something better.
Yep.
Like go fishing once in a while and try and catch a bigger fish.
Yep.
It's silly, dude. It's silly. I mean, probably the cutest girl that I've met at my new job. She's a 7. She's cute. She's nice. She's got a boyfriend and he lives in like, I don't know, Southern Illinois. Like they're 5 or 6 hours apart. I'm just like, why? Like, why?
Because it's not a real relationship. I don't care how many times on the day you talk on the phone, send texts back and forth. It's not a real relationship.
I agree. So I think we need to come up with something to do. Like when I meet a girl and like you, that's the other thing. When you meet a girl and you start talking to her, they never bring up their boyfriends until you're thinking, I think we have a little chemistry here.
Yes.
And then they just drop it and break your heart. And it's like, what?
And it has to make me think, like it sucks, but at the same time, I feel a little bit good because, like, did they feel threatened enough that they had to mention they had a boyfriend just to, like, remind themselves? Is it really like, oh, I have a boyfriend? Like,
I don't know. Good point. That's a very good point.
That's the half full side of it, anyway.
I like that. I like the way you think, but it's not going to change. I still think that we're going to, I'm holding to this. I'm a hopeful dude that we're going to enter an age, like starting now or next year, where I'm calling it the golden era. We're going to usher in the golden era of girls that are available. My theory is that the girls who had long-term boyfriends in college, they will either marry them within the next few months, as we've been seeing, or they'll wake up in a couple months and say, this is not what I want long-term, and they'll dump them. And then we'll get the perfect mix of young, beautiful girls, desperate for love, newly single, looking for a serious relationship. I think it's the golden era.
I can't wait. We just have to figure out where those are.
They're not in Madison.
I'll keep my eyes open down here.
Okay. All right. Well, dude, so I want to talk about this very awkward encounter I had a couple days ago.
I love this.
So I'm in the bathroom, and I don't know what it is about bathrooms, but I always have just the weirdest situations. So I go to the urinal, and there's a guy like a couple urinals down from me, and we're peeing at basically the same time. He finishes like, I don't know, 5 seconds before me, walks to the sink. I zip up. I walk to the sink. And then we start washing our hands. And I don't know about you, but when I only pee, it's a very quick hand wash. If there's soap involved at all. Sometimes quick rinse. I get to the sink, and this guy's washing his hands. And we're at the sinks next to each other. And I'm like, well, I can't not use soap. I mean, this guy's right next to me. So I do a little soap. I start rinsing. I'm just watching out of the corner of my eye like, huh, when is he going to be done? And we just keep washing and washing and lathering and rinsing. And about 30 to 35 seconds in, I'm thinking, we are in a duel right now. This is a standoff. There's no way this guy's washing his hands this long. He's looking at me just like I'm looking at him. So this goes on, and I'm like, I can't take this anymore. I can't do this any longer. And I broke. I lost. And I shut off the sink. And, of course, 2 or 3 seconds later, he shuts his down. And I just felt like such a schlub for walking out of there. Oh,
you just got alphaed hardcore.
My man card was taken. I was instantly sent down the dominance hierarchy. It was shameful. So I just wanted to tell you about it because it was sad.
I mean, we as guys can't be alphas all. We have to learn to pick our battles. And to me, I think you picked a good battle.
Thank you.
Like, that guy is never going to go brag to anybody like, oh, yeah, I washed my hands longer than that guy. This is one of those moments that is really just like, if you ever see him again, that's the only time it's ever going to come into play. Because you're going to be thinking about it, he's going to be thinking about it, but no one else is going to know, so he's going to have an advantage. So when that moment comes, you just got to be sure to, like, you know, just, you know, like, have him walk out the door before you, just step on the back of his shoe, and give him a little nudge in the wrong direction, just to, like, let him know, like, hey, I'm not a total beta, because that's what he thinks right now. But, I mean, that's, like, I completely agree with you. No one, like... Like, I get why you're supposed to wash your hands, but I'm not sitting there spraying all over the urinal. I'm not I'll rinse my hands casually under the water if I feel peer pressure to do it. But that's really bad. Because, like, when you got to get out and you got to go, dude. You got 15 minutes before you got to be somewhere else most of the time. You can't just sit washing your hands for a minute and a half.
I appreciate the backup here. I've also had this with brushing my teeth. just over the years, where you're at the sink with someone, you start brushing your teeth, and it turns into like a 3-4 minute ordeal where it's like, all right, who's gonna spit out this first and get on with their lives? It's just weird, dude. I don't know what it is, but it's weird.
I can't say I've ever had that, but I'll take your word for it. Okay, so how much college football?
So I saw any game that was on ABC, NBC, and Fox.
Okay, so pretty much the national games?
I saw the national games, yes.
Okay, so I'll just do a quick rundown. You probably saw most of these. We'll just hit some highlights and then move on because we got a lot of better stuff to talk about. The Texas-Maryland game was honestly probably the best game that was on this weekend besides Penn State. And this Maryland's very good, averagely very good. Your boy Bouchel is not good.
Dude, I don't know what's happened to him.
He got injured last year, which was part of it. But even when he came in, like, he just did not look great. They put him in for a drive and then, like, took him out and put Ellinger back in, and Ellinger never left. So, Bouchel's done.
That's sad.
But Colin Johnson, the Texas wide receiver, is very, very good.
Okay.
We're in a dynasty league now, so this is the kind of stuff we need to pay attention to. He's going to be, like, the dude looks like Calvin Johnson. He sounds like his name is Calvin Johnson, and that's how he plays. Like, he's just, he's huge, he's fast, he's going to be great.
Okay.
But Texas as a team sucks. Don't buy anything into that.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game, but one of my friends, he's from Texas, and he gave me the rundown of how, like, any quarterback that comes through there, basically they suck all the potential out of them, and they just end up being a bust.
Yes.
So
that's completely true. So Michigan, Notre Dame.
Yep.
I was a big proponent that they were both trash, and that game only proved my point. Unfortunately, Notre Dame beat Michigan, even though they didn't score any points in like the last three quarters of the game. So now they're going to be super high in the rankings, even though they're not that good.
They're
so
not that
don't
good.
Buy. It's, sell. Sell, sell, yeah, sell.
It's the Notre Dame bias. Did you see the Michigan quarterback McCaffrey come in?
Yeah.
Dude, like, when he came in, I couldn't believe how bad he looked. He was like he couldn't throw a spiral. It was brutal, dude. I was watching that like, you gotta be kidding me.
And what really makes this very funny, I'm dying, sorry. Makes this very funny to me is less than 2 weeks ago, Colin Cowherd had like a 7-minute segment talking about how you can make the argument that Jim Harbaugh has a better resume for the best coach in college football above Nick Saban.
Dude, and Cowherd has been such
that
a moron.
Went out and happened. He's been saying a lot of very strange stuff. I like his, like, I think he just needs to get in mid-season form right now, but he's a little off.
His NFL stuff lately, like the last month, it's been firstly all over the map. Like, you can't decide if Rodgers is good or if he's horrible. His Harbaugh take is atrocious.
Yeah,
he's just been off. He just has not been on his game.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was, but Harbaugh literally was just like, "Hey, whoa, slow down there, Cowherd."
Yeah.
And his AD came out and said he's fully behind Jim Harbaugh, not in job trouble. Which means by the end of the season, he'll either be on the hot seat or fire. So watch out for that. Penn State, trash. Almost lost to App State.
I didn't see the game.
Not that App State's bad, but yeah. So McSorley is still not a good quarterback, shockingly. A whole season didn't change that. But not winning the Big Ten. Wisconsin's still trash, but they'll be in the Big Ten championship because the rest of the division's worse. Yep. And I realize it's a bit presumptuous to say, and normally I would be the one saying, well, you got to take it game by game. You can't ever look ahead. But I really feel like everyone should just go ahead and give us the trophy now because Tua might be the best college quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
I can't describe to you how good he is.
Let's pump the brakes here. Let's pump the brakes. What did you see in the game to make you say that?
Okay. So I'll go ahead and outline and say he has an incredible amount of talent around him. as an offensive unit, this is Saban's best he's ever had at Alabama by far.
Really?
Just overall. Our receivers are very, very good. Devontae Smith is amazing. Jerry Jeudy is literally just a Calvin Ridley replica.
Yeah.
We have this really, really, like, we've never had, like, a dynamic make-people-miss kind of returner guy, but now we have one, and they're all three just running around the field at the same time.
What's that?
Like, Julio.
What's that guy's name?
Waddle.
That's a good name.
Just say Waddle, Waddle every time he touches. It's a good football name, I know. like Julio, Cooper, like, even Henry, the running backs, like, as individuals are probably better players, but, like, literally all the receivers are – very, very good college football receivers. Same with the running backs. Offensive line isn't great, and that's the only part where Tua struggled was when they would bring a blitz, he'd have like a second,
okay,
and then he'd get sacked.
Okay.
But we only had two sacks the game, and one of them was on Jalen. It wasn't even on Tua. He is so good at – I mean, you saw that first play.
Yes.
He can improvise with the best of them. That yes, touchdown that was absolutely gorgeous. He – should have had, like, his one deep throw to Waddle. He looked off the safety at the completely other side of the field and then just threw a deep once Waddle cleared the post route. Like,
wow.
His timing is impeccable. His anticipation for when the receivers are breaking routes, it's great. He's left-handed. He's Hawaiian. I don't really see. And just with the fact that we can still run the ball very, very well, and now we can throw it, I don't see how we're going to lose a game at all, honestly.
Wow, dude. Wow. Well,
I know.
I didn't see any of the Bama game. I'm going to go watch the highlights probably tonight or tomorrow just to see what you're talking about with Tua and this anticipation, this timing, because this is intriguing to me. But I'm going to take your word for it
right
now.
So he played in four drives, and he scored three touchdowns. The one drive he didn't score a touchdown, he made an amazing pocket movement play and then threw it to Devontae Smith, who ran for 10 yards, and then got hit and fumbled it.
Okay.
That was the only time he didn't score. Jalen Hurts immediately came in, three and out. The next play, or next drive, he would have had another three and out, but we got saved by a penalty, and we ran a play action. No one picked up the running back running straight down the field. Jalen never even saw him. So Tua's won the starting job. There's no competition at all.
Okay.
And he's about to, like, lead the best offense in Alabama history.
Wow, dude. Wow.
So
these are big words you're saying. How do you feel? How do you
I
feel
know, about Auburn? And Stidham's good. I don't Auburn's running backs aren't good. Their defensive line is good. It's not as good as people say it is. Washington is also not as good as people say it is. I'm not really concerned about Auburn's victory.
Okay.
All that showed me is that they still can't run the ball without Kerryon Johnson.
Okay.
But Stidham's a good quarterback.
Dude,
I'm not going to doubt
Stidham's
that.
Stidham's legit. I'm all in with Stidham. After seeing that first half, I'm like, he's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. The only reason that Auburn probably didn't win the game by a larger margin is because he doesn't have any talent around.
Okay.
Their offensive line isn't good anymore. They don't have any receivers.
Okay.
So that's like Georgia's probably the only team that really threatens us, honestly.
Okay. That big game this week coming up.
I know. I've been calling this upset for the past 2 years.
I know, dude. Dark horse, South Carolina. Dark horse, South Carolina. I've heard it forever. This is the time
all
it's
about
gonna
it.
Happen. This is it. Like, if it doesn't happen this week, you were wrong.
I was talking to one of my friends, like, just today. I was texting about the game, and I said, my head's telling me Georgia, but my heart and my tweets are telling me South Carolina, so I have to stand by my tweets.
It's going to be I think it's going to be a close game. It's in South Carolina. It's going to be loud.
I know.
I didn't think Fromm looked that good. He just looked
– I didn't see any Georgia highlights.
He looked generic. He just looked – it didn't look like he's made any step forward. It's just he's still
like
making
that.
The design throw on the rollout, the play action. I don't know. Fields came in for a little bit, and he just ran every time. He just took off. Like, he stood in the pocket for 1 to 2 seconds, and then he's like, screw this. And he just bolted. And he got, like, 10 yards of carry or something. Like, it was insane. He's huge.
Okay.
He's got some work to do.
Yeah, for sure. And then just another name to be aware of, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson's freshman quarterback. He's a white guy. He's got
yep.
a really, really nice flow
yep.
going on. He looked pretty good. He didn't play anybody, but they do play Texas A&M this weekend.
That'll be a good game.
And it could be a very good game. Kellen Mond's not a bad quarterback for Texas A&M, so keep an eye on that.
Trevor Lawrence is from Cartersville, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
So I saw some, like, he went to some camp with Justin Fields and, like, you know, all the new guys. And anyways, it was on YouTube, and they did, like, a scrimmage game. And he looks so bad. So in my mind, I've basically grouped him into a category of bust. But it's based on, like, a five-minute YouTube video I watched, so I'm still open to, like, change that.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, they, like, literally, I don't even know who they played, but it was like, an Appalachian State, but worse.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, well, sweet, dude. Well, yeah, it was a good weekend of college football. There's not many good games this weekend, but it's still good to be – it's good to be back.
Oh, yeah. I mean – okay, so what do you want to do first? Do you want to do NFL, or do you want to do attack the draft?
Let's do NFL, then we'll attack it.
Okay, I'm good with that. All right, so just who do you have tonight? I'm really curious because I've been hearing a lot, and I felt like it was a pretty easy pick for me.
So I'm picking the Falcons by 11.
Okay, I've got them by 10, so yeah.
Okay, we're really?
Pretty much on the same page really? There. Yeah.
Weird. Okay. Sweet.
I don't think Nick Foles can reproduce Super Bowl magic, especially with just how his preseason's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he has not looked good.
And like I've pretty much said the whole time, I'm pretty high on the Falcons' offense this year. So if they come out and lay a dud like this game, I guess all my hopes and dreams are just going to shatter. I don't know.
So here's my thinking with the game. The Eagles this offseason, they got cocky. You had Kelce saying all this stuff about the Patriots and how they don't have fun, and you had the interviews, and you had all the social upheaval, the politics, and they're all got like big voices in the media. It is just not a good mixture. It's not a good mixture at all. I think they come out
like
flat.
It.
Like first quarter, they're going to be like jazzed up. The banner's going up. The crowd's going to be going insane. Like, what I'm seeing right now on NBC is the fans are going insane already. Stadium's already full. It's an hour before kickoff. It's going to be loud, and the Eagles could go out, you know, maybe 7-10 point lead in the first. But then I just think Foles is going to crumble, like you said. And I just think that Atlanta defense is so good. I think they're so deep and talented. The only thing that scares me is Sark. But I still think the Falcons by 11. I have the Falcons as my number one seed in the NFC.
As it gets closer and closer to the season, and I really hope they perform tonight, but like I just keep getting higher on them, which I hate because it's the Falcons. I just know they're going to let someone down, and I really hope it's not me.
I just cannot stand the Falcons. Like they're behind Seattle and the Bears and the Vikings. They're up there with like my least favorite teams. I hate them with a passion. I hope they suck. I hope they suck, but I just can't justify it in my mind. They're so good on paper.
Yeah, me either.
So.
Okay. We'll wait for that. Well, yeah, we'll see. How about the Packers?
So Packers are playing the Bears Sunday night, and
yeah,
I'm very nervous. I'm very, very nervous. It's in Lambeau, which is good.
The Bears.
This is Khalil Mack thing.
That is like, good. I was
worried about this game before Khalil Mack because I thought the Bears' defense was top 10 without him. And their offense, outside of Trubisky,
same.
I think is looking really solid. Jordan Howard, Allen Robinson, the new guy they drafted from Memphis, Trey Burton. Like, they're pretty loaded offensively.
I mean, they are. And if Trubisky has even – like, he wasn't horrible at the end of last season either. So, if he actually took a step forward this offseason, I mean
– yeah, I'm worried about it, dude.
They might actually be scary.
Is it just an absolute bust? But I just don't know. He's got a lot of talent to work with. It'd be hard for him to be a complete bust with that roster. So, it's also a rivalry
game. No, yeah, for sure.
I think it's a three-point game. I think it's a three-point game.
Yeah, and for the first game of the season –
so, what do you think?
I'm thinking, I think it's going to be close.
That's too
the line right now is Green Bay by 7.5. That's what I was looking up, which I was about to say that is too much. I don't care if you're at home or not. I'm still picking the Packers. I don't think – I know you are. I feel like Rodgers is going to come out, and I think it's all going to click for a little bit. I do really like
–
I mean, if y'all's corners are as good as their draft number is,
yeah,
then it should be a lot easier, especially since Trubisky is still I haven't been more excited for the week one game, I don't think.
In so long. Just so many changes, so many new additions. Just to see it all on the field, it's going to be great.
I know. This is going
to
be good.
So Jets have the Lions Monday night. You have to wait an extra day. Could be a good game, though.
I know. I am so – this is the most I've ever been pumped for a Jets game since we lost in the playoffs to the Bills.
Okay.
For making it to the playoffs to the Bills back 2 years ago, 3 or 3 years ago. I'm trying so hard to keep my expectations low. But everyone around me on the internet is just hyping up Darnold so much, and I'm buying into it hardcore. My film room guy, he does all these videos. I love his breakdown today. It was all about how much better Darnold makes the team just from, like, the first preseason games he's been watching from Darnold and his college tape. Good. And I can't stop this train. Baby. It's all going to
end on Monday night.
Let's go!
I'm just joking. I think it'll be good.
Regardless of how good, I mean, as long as Darnold isn't any worse than Josh McCown was last year, I still feel pretty good about our chances to beat the Lions.
I really like him. I think he's good. Okay, so let me give you my four best games of the weekend coming up. These are the ones I'm most interested in. Give me your pick and a score, okay? Texans, Pats.
Okay.
I got Pats by 7.
Texans by 7.
Niners, Vikings, huge game. Whew. Very excited for it.
I know. And this is one, like, just for fantasy purposes, I've been going back and forth on pretty much the past 2 days.
Yep,
I really want to say the Niners, but I'm gonna go Vikings by 3.
This is one of the sneakier games of the weekend. Should be very revealing. Jags, Giants. Okay, I'm going with the Jags by 3.
Giants by 10.
Jags by 3. That defense will slow Eli enough, I think. Last one, another big game for week one. 4:30 game. Cowboys, Panthers.
I'm going Panthers by...
I'm taking Cowboys.
I'm going to go Panthers by 7. 5 right now. Interesting. I just don't believe in Dak, and I feel like the Panthers, they don't have like a great front 7, but I think they're good enough to figure out how to stop Zeke. I don't think the Cowboys have any receivers still.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out one more and get yours on it. Chiefs Chargers.
I'll probably go Chargers by 6.
I was Chargers interested in that 6. One. I wanted to see how much you believed in Pat.
Match it for Mahomes' but, first game.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It's a very, very tough.
I want to give you just a quick update of my 2018 NFL predictions. Just real fast, what I ended up landing on after our discussions.
Mm.
So I've got Falcons as the 1 seed.
Yeah, yeah, let me hear
it. Wins the division. I have Dallas winning the division. I have Seattle winning the division.
Okay.
I just, the more I thought about it, I got that
interesting.
I told you last episode, and it just, Earl's back. It's just feeling right. I just can't bet against Russell. He's just so good.
I understand that feeling.
But I'm going to roll with them winning division because I think the Rams are a bust, and I think Garoppolo is slightly overblown. Saints and Vikings sneak in.
Okay.
But I've got the Saints-Packers NFC Championship game. Still Packers over Chiefs. So that's where I ended up.
Okay.
I've got Chiefs and Jags.
That's not bad. Wild card, that's not bad.
AFC. Texans winning the division. Chargers winning the division. Pats and Steelers. So that's where I am.
Okay. All right. I like it. I think the closer we get to the season, the more unoutlandish most of the picks seem. Like, you can almost make the case for anybody right now. And so I think once week one happens, especially for – it's like, I don't know why I'm so high on the Giants, but watching them actually play a good defense is probably going to temper expectations a lot.
On Sunday. Like, we can actually have some substantive debates.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I can't wait to talk about it next week. We'll actually talk it's about good. What happened.
Let's get into the fantasy. What do you say?
Okay.
Okay, dude, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, and I'll start first off by saying that I do honestly think, like, you had a really good draft in both leagues.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And I'll go ahead and say I was really disappointed in my draft in both leagues as well.
Really? So,
yeah, there's a few picks that I think I just really messed up on that I wanted back, but there were a few questionable picks I thought you made, and I'm glad we're having this because I actually want to just see what your mindset was at the time, just kind of figure that out.
Okay.
So let's start with the MFL league. That way I can get off this website as fast as possible.
Okay.
The Pat Mahomes we've talked about. I was a little surprised you did end up taking him in both leagues. That's a very strong showing of confidence, though.
I had to. He's my boy this year. He's my Wentz from last year. I'm trusting my gut.
That's fine. That's fine. I can understand that. I didn't know you were as big a Dalvin Cook fan as you were to especially make that draft trade for him.
Yes, so that came down to basically, could I get a first-round running back for essentially a fifth-round and a seventh-round pick and carry on? So I was thinking, let's do it. Let's just go for it. It's my draft pick next year, which will actually be – I won't get any of the top players. I'll get fifth-round quality players. So that's where I ended up with that. I like Dalvin a lot. I like him a lot. I think he's good. Watching him before the ACL last year got me very worried. And I still think the Vikings are a run-first defense or run-first offense.
Yeah, I definitely do too. I mean, it works out for your team. Like, you have him, you have Zeke, like, and Aaron Jones once he actually comes back. So you should be set. And then this was probably the most surprising pick to me that you made out of both drafts was Rashad Penny.
Yeah. Yep. He was sitting there. What was that? Probably the 9th or 10th round.
It was late, and I did a double take once I saw it was your name that took him.
Yep, it was late, and I basically looked at it and said, this guy got drafted in the first round. I know he's had horrible stats in the preseason. It is just the preseason. It's super late. I'm going to take a chance on him. I'm just going to go for it. And so I went for it, and we'll see how it turns out. I'm not expecting anything great, but if Chris Carson goes down, then
it'll be Penny. Yeah,
but I'm big on Carson. I'm very big on Carson.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And I wish I'd taken him a little bit earlier. Honestly, in one of these leagues, I should have snagged him before some of my other players. But
yeah,
I mean, hopefully Penny's the second guy if he goes down. Receivers are fine. Geronimo Allison, is that the new Jordy?
Dude, he has the best hands on the team. He is, like, he's on the same page with Rodgers. Rodgers is all about trust. If you can get to the right spot, if you can be there and he'll know that you're going to be there, he will throw it to you. He's all about trust and timing. And Geronimo, for the last 3 years, they've got a nice chemistry, and he doesn't drop the ball. He's got such sticky hands. I think he's playing for a good year. We need a wide receiver 3. Jordy left. It's his opportunity. Double coverage is going to be on Devontae. Jimmy Graham's going to get a lot of safety attention. It's going to be Geronimo running down the other side of the field.
Okay. I mean, like, just to me, like, I look at that offense, and I'll be honest, like, I vaguely remembered his name from last year, but I was just thinking, you know, you got Devontae Adams, you got Randall Cobb, you have now Jimmy Graham. You have still Ty Montgomery, the other running backs, like, I mean, I guess it's Rodgers. He's going to distribute the ball, but I just didn't see much room for Geronimo.
Dude, there's room. There's definitely room. He's going to be
– okay.
He's going to be solid. I think he's going to be very solid. So, yes, that is my fantasy team in that league.
Okay.
Let me. All right, I'm looking at your Anthony Weiner team in the other league. And I want to get your thoughts on McCaffrey. I'm just you've given it to me before. I just need to hear it again as to why you drafted him so high.
That's fine. So and to me, I really didn't draw. I thought where he was, his ADP was projected to go, and especially where I got him. Like, I got him at the beginning of the fourth round.
Okay.
So I've actually been talking to Caleb most of the day. Caleb was trying to work out a trade for it. And when it came down to it, I couldn't pull the trigger. And here's why. Because when we made that trade at the end of last season, McCaffrey is a large part of why my team won the championship.
Yes.
Because his use at the end of last season absolutely exploded. And they have now North Turner coming in. You know, he's working on this offense. Hopefully he recognizes, as pretty much everyone else in the world does, that McCaffrey is the best running back on that team overall. It's not going to be C.J. Anderson. It's not going to be Fozzie Whitaker. And he's, like, amazing with the ball in his hands. It's absolutely incredible what the guy can do. I fully expect him to get at least close to 90 to 100 catches easy. And I don't see how he isn't an every-down back, honestly. But true dominant, number one. And so I was fine having Devontae and Melvin and having McCaffrey in my flex. I think he's going to do big things this year. He's still probably returning the ball on a few kicks and punts. And so just looking at who was there, I didn't like any of the wide receivers. I needed a wide receiver really bad, and that's my team's weakness here, I think. I just didn't see one I liked enough to take over McCaffrey right there.
Okay. I like your running backs a lot. Melvin, Freeman, and if McCaffrey, as your flex, does perform, you have a solid trio, a very solid trio. So props to you there. You just mentioned it. I think your wide receivers need help. Hogan, Marvin Jones, Allen Robinson is going to be very good. So that's a good pick. I think you've got upside with Marquise Goodwin. And I think you have upside with Calvin Ridley. If Sark can get things together. I don't like Marvin Jones. I don't like him. I don't like Hogan. It's just, I don't know. He's got no one to draw any coverage away from him in that offense.
I completely agree. And this was like, it was either I get here of where we were in the draft. I don't think I took Chris Hogan until probably the seventh or the eighth round.
Okay.
So I got to that point and I'm just looking and like, this is a number two guy. This is a number two guy. I'm not even sure if this guy is injured or not. All I knew was like, Chris Hogan is technically the number one wide receiver on that team. He's got Tom Brady throwing the ball.
Okay.
I had to take
that's
him.
Fair.
I don't like Marvin Jones. I hate Marvin Jones. I hate having him on my team. And I'm really hoping Quincy Enunwa is back to being our number one wide receiver so I can sub him in pretty quick.
Okay.
But literally, I got to this point in the draft. I was just taking people that I knew would be on the field almost every single play.
And that's not a bad strategy. It's not a whole
thing. Nah. But hopefully, you know, I mean, I got Ridley and I have Quincy Enunwa on the bench. Hopefully they can put them in pretty quick and get these guys out of here.
Okay, I love your quarterbacks. It's a very solid Drew Brees, Matt Stafford. And I loved DeMarcus Lawrence. What a pick that was, dude. That was a great pick. I like your team, dude. I like it.
Okay. It's good because like, it might just be an inner bias. Like, you just like your team. Like, I could be so much better here.
Yeah.
But
Where do you think, if I had a weakness, what would you say?
Yeah, so first off, I want to say that, because I asked you just before we started this draft, I definitely think we both benefited from doing that other draft on MFL before.
Oh, yes.
But I definitely think you used your knowledge better than I did.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure the only reason I got to Marcus Lawrence is because no one knew how to find him when they were drafting.
Yeah, dude, searching for players, like, it took a while to figure out that first night.
Yeah, so just looking at your team, to me, I'm not super high on your quarterbacks. And part of that is I'm not a Pat Mahomes believer. Which, if you, I mean, you weren't a Deshaun Watson believer for a little bit there. Yes. So this could be a whole reversal of roles.
Yes.
Who knows? I think Phil Rivers is a good quarterback. It just never really seemed like he's always been a very good fantasy quarterback.
I hate him. I hate that I have to start him. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. I goofed big on quarterbacks.
No, so I mean, you've got Mariota on the bench, and I mean, we've all been waiting on Marcus Mariota's dominant fantasy season since his rookie year. Yeah. So maybe this is it, and you won't have to have him on there. But I mean, he's a consistent quarterback. He's going to get you at least like 15 to 20 a game.
He could have a breakout.
It'd just be nice.
Maybe
he could. Yeah,
I do have Rosen too, which I am excited about long term.
Yeah, and hopefully the Cardinals can actually figure out their offense at some point. I was interested because I didn't know you were as high on Juju, especially kind of the same situation. Yeah. You took him in both leagues. Do you, because I mean, I like Juju. I had him on my team last year. He's good. You think that's going to keep up?
He is so good. I mean, he came in as a rookie, and wide receivers don't really take over like he did as rookies. So it's a mixture of that. Then it's also a mixture of Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver I've seen other than Megatron. And he's so dominant that he'll get double covered and he'll go for 130 yards. There's no way they can cover Juju with Antonio on the field. They can't do it. It's impossible. And I think Juju has wide receiver one talent on other rosters. So I'm looking at Juju.
I do too.
He's a number one wide receiver. He's so young. He's got a lot of swagger, and he's got Antonio Brown pulling all the coverage away from him.
Yeah.
I feel very good about Juju.
So I really like him. I thought you did take him a little bit early, but if you're that high on him, it's just better to have him.
I traded up for him in this
league. So I think – oh, is that what you did? Okay. Yeah, so I think, like, just to me, looking at everybody else's rosters, outside of quarterbacks, I thought you had the best starting roster there was. I mean, Julio, Davante Adams – Gurley, Derrick Henry. I was so upset when you took Henry. I thought I would be able to get him for at least one round later, and then you grabbed him. So props to you. It was a good pick. Thank right you. There. Chris Carson, super high on him. Then the only thing I'm going to bring up about your team, and I'm just curious to see your thoughts on it if you went into this, but I think overall right now you drafted probably the best starting roster and the best roster overall for the future. Because, I mean, you have – you said you have Rosen, you have Kerryon Johnson, you have Keelan Cole, Anthony Miller, DJ Moore, like all these players that have a lot of potential to be good, especially like in their future careers. And so what do you have, like a plan? Like, so say, you know, Julio grabs another foot injury, you know, Will Fuller tears his ACL, he's out for the year again. Like, do you think these are players you'll be able to put in and start there? Or would you have to consider dropping them and picking up somebody that you can actually play?
Who, right, you mean away? My guys on the bench, my development guys?
Yeah.
I could see myself playing Keelan Cole. I could see myself starting him this year. I could see myself, depending on how Anthony Miller does early, and DJ Moore. I mean,
yeah, and I really love Anthony. Yeah, I love Anthony Miller.
I think DJ Moore is going to be good too. I mean, I guess it just depends on how. Sorry, how they look in real games.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest struggle for me. Is I want to draft for the future, but like I literally feel like every year someone, like two or three people, just get injured that I really really like, and I have to scour the waiver wire to find the people. And I've like been balancing my team out pretty much. I made four or five picks, or I think I used all four of my drops today to pick up players just so I can make sure I have people to like development and then play. As a balance.
Dude, there's some good players that got dropped today. Jordy, Allen Hurns.
Yeah, I mean, I think I dropped people that
dropped
I really
John
like.
Loss, but Balage.
Yeah, I'm those are guys are like some deep sleepers for me. So okay. But yeah, I mean overall, like, this is going to be so much fun to just play 3 years,
honestly.
It's going
to be so fun. And I'm so glad we're back to Yahoo. That other website, like after we had the Indian draft the night before, and I got on the website that night and, like, tried to set my roster, look at it, see my projections, see my matchup.
Same. I hated
it. See who was still available. And I was going through these, and I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. I texted Nick that night before a draft. That night, and I said, NFL is awful. I think we should switch. And so the day of our draft, I talked to Nick for about 30 minutes. I was like, dude, I don't know what we should do, but I think we should switch back to Yahoo. He's like, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And then we had a discussion about, all right, are we going to have this draft on MFL tonight and or just switch it totally? And it was like, oh, let's draft on MFL and then we'll discuss. Just a disaster though, dude. Just not good at all.
Yeah. It's got to be one of the worst user interfaces I've ever seen. I don't know how, like, I just hate staring at it. I got to close this page. I hate staring at it. It just...
it's awful.
Yahoo's so smooth. So smooth.
Dude, I like being able to click on my player and actually move him up into a starting position. I like seeing that. I like knowing that my lineup is set and I don't have to submit 2 out of 3 running backs, 3 out of 5 wide receivers. Like there were no slots.
There are no slots. The way the players are ordered made absolutely no sense. I've got, you know, this guy all the way above Kenyon Drake. I'm not sure why he's there.
I know, dude, it was awful. And then when you went to go add or drop, you like one of my favorite things about Yahoo.
I hated it.
You can go to all players or all available players. You can rank based on projected points, rank based on all sorts of stuff. You can see who's got all the running backs. You can see, like, it's just so nice. And I was like, you can't do any of that.
Yeah. And then, like, in MFL, when you're picking somebody up, like, all it does is you click on it and it highlights them. And you're like,
yeah.
Is he selected? I'm not sure what that is.
I know, dude. It was awful. So I'm glad we switched. It's going to be a great year, dude. I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so is that it? Did we cover everything?
As of right now, I think the Eagles game is delayed.
Oh, no way. Seriously?
I'm on NBC. It should be starting in 15 minutes. Stadium's cleared out. There's a storm. They keep showing the radar.
Oh, my God. Dude, so that happened pretty much all weekend during college football. It was just – there's a storm.
Yeah.
Storm delay. Interesting fact about the Texas game. So they were in – they had like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Texas was up by 4 points. And the weather delay came in. They had a 2-hour weather delay before they could finish the game.
Okay.
During like that weather delay, they were doing a reporting section. They were just talking about, you know, how both teams are trying to keep their teams active and motivated. They got them on bikes. They're doing all this stuff. And then the guy goes, Texas actually ordered pizza for all their guys in the locker. And then they go out and lose the game. And I find it very hard not to directly contribute that to the fact that they had Papa John's in the middle of football.
Dude.
So that just shows you what's wrong with that team.
They're just underperformers. They really are. It's sad.
Yeah. Okay. But so let's – actually, oh, you got your Mount Rushmore ready?
I'm so okay. Ready.
Let's get into that. Okay. So, and eventually, this has to be the week we come up for a different name for this. This is the final round Mount Rushmore. So, the Mount Rushmore, Mount Rushmores, to be fair. Okay. All right. But this is the Mount Rushmore of red flags. And I left that pretty vague, but I just meant in girls, honestly.
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, we took that the same way.
Then. Oh, yeah. Oh,
we're
both
sexist pigs, so. All right, so do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start it off. Okay, so the first item, the first red flag on my red flags Mount Rushmore is if she's a vegan, run the other way. If you sit down and you go get some pizza – and she says, oh, I don't eat cheese. Or I don't even know if vegans eat cheese. I don't know what the rules are. I don't either. If she says I'm a vegan, you stand up, you grab your things, and you go to the car, and you don't worry about how she's getting home.
This is one I 100% agree with, but I can't believe I didn't even think to put it on there. So I went on that double date with a vegan, and I completely agree. It just doesn't go well. Can't eat anything. Can't go anywhere. You guys have to worry about the diet. Like,
yeah, she's weak. She's got weak genes, and I don't want to pass weak genes down to my offspring. I want a strong woman who can eat anything and handle it.
And then, like, just thinking about the future, say you guys get married, is she going to make you be a vegan? I don't know about that. It's just a lot of problem.
Exactly. The every night meal, you sit down and you're having salad. Like, what a horrible life.
Mm-hmm. That's just, okay. So good eye.
Thank you.
My first one is her dog is not well behaved. And it sounds a little bit, but I promise you, I've seen a very strong correlation just to people in general. So TV girl, all those days ago, her dog, and I didn't know this was her dog until I figured out what apartment she was in. Her dog would consistently pee on the balcony floor. And so when I had to go in and do that apartment, we all thought the apartment was disgusting. Why is this place so gross? And I figured out that was her apartment. And I was just like, I can't do it. You know? Yeah. I just can't do it.
I like
there,
it, dude.
There is one dog. This was like basically what happened with the other, the Jamie girl. Her dog doesn't start barking at people in the hallways. Like, all it does is bark. And she just sits there and lets it bark. It's no discipline. They can't do it.
No discipline. And it's also kind of a mirror of the trainer. So yeah. if the dog's barking at people, you know the girl's got she's got an anger management issue.
Anger management issues. She doesn't like have any sense of compassion on people around her. She doesn't care what that happens to them.
Yeah.
Not off a train.
The other thing is, if you can't discipline your dog, how are you going to do it with your kids?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a horrible life.
The only thing worse than having, you know, the dog bark at everybody is having your kid run around screaming. At least the dog is like, I mean, it's a dog, but that's a kid. Come on.
Oh my gosh. That's a great point.
I'm telling you.
Okay, dude. All right. Well, that's fantastic. I love it. All right. Second red flag on the red flag of Mount Rushmore. And this one, I want to give a shout out to Mason Bone.
Ooh, let's hear it.
If she has a kid, what are you doing with her?
Oh my gosh.
It's one thing if you go on a date and you don't know she has a kid and she drops it in the middle of the date. But if you know she has a kid and you ask her on a date, what are you doing? That's a huge red flag.
Yes.
What are you thinking? Like, now, I don't even have to describe this one.
And I agree 100%. The only thing I'm curious about is there an age cutoff for this red flag where it's suddenly not a red flag anymore? It's just like, it just becomes baggage.
I think when we're 30, we can start discussing an age cutoff. But until then, I don't want to hear a word about any of my friends or myself talking to or dating a girl with a kid.
Yeah. Because I could not deal with that in my life. I don't know how. Like, this presents so many other problems. Ah. So, yeah, 100% agree.
It's bad.
Okay. Number two for me, and this is, well, so she uses the same number of ha-has in all of her texts, and I'll just present my thought process for this. So, because you have your general ha-ha that you use, and you can figure out the social cues when to use which ha-has. You have the ones with the three, which is, yeah, that was a pretty good joke. And then you have, like, the ones that really make you laugh. You put, like, a few of them in there.
Yeah.
But if you're texting a girl and she always uses the same number of ha-has, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean – it's just – this is probably what she sends to every guy who says something dumb. She just either being polite. She doesn't care. She's just sending that general ha-ha, however many it is. And you're just kind of left still wondering what your stance is.
I think the other thing with this is, if she can't convey her levels of humor, she's not going to be very good at sharing her emotions. You're not going to be able to gauge her in real life if she's happy, if she's sad.
True.
I like it. It's kind of like a forerunner.
We, as guys, need some sort of validation or sign that we're doing the right thing, no matter what the situation is with a girl.
Yeah.
Just sending that one extra ha. Let us know that. That's all we need. Simple creatures.
You're a brilliant, brilliant man. That's all I know. That is brilliant, dude. Okay, my third one. Third red flag is if she has a toe ring.
Okay.
I thought of this one this morning in the shower. It just hit me. If you start to have a crush on a girl with a toe ring, run the other way. Have you ever met a girl with a toe ring that is not insane?
I have not.
Like, girls with toe rings are crazy, dude. Like, I don't even care if you have a belly button piercing, if you have a little stud in your nose. Like, that's much, much better than if you wear a toe ring on your second toe. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous, dude. You're in for just a life of arguments and just hysteria. Walk away.
There are two things I associate that with. The first is, to me, it almost is very similar to the term midlife crisis. When she gets the toe ring, there's something, like something happened, and she's just going a different direction from you now. You'll probably never be on the same path again. So just don't even bother.
Yeah.
The second thing is the term crazy eyes. Have you ever heard the term crazy eyes?
Yeah, you're talking about the girls that just have that look in their
eyes. They just have crazy eyes. Yeah. And that, like, if she's like, has like dormant crazy eyes, or she's just really good at hiding them, you see the toe ring, you know, bail.
Yeah. Bail. If she has a toe ring, she's not getting a wedding ring. There's room for only one ring. That's the rule.
We got some good rules of thumb going here. Okay. All right.
Rules of thumb or rules of toe?
Ooh.
That was so bad.
The joke is there. We just got to work on the phrasing a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Red flag number three. She doesn't enjoy or ever put herself in positions to look dumb.
Oh,
or to look stupid.
Oh, yes.
Dude. Whether it's, you know, you're in a crowd, everybody's dancing, she's just standing there. She doesn't want to dance. She doesn't want to ever tell a joke or tell a story or, like, ever communicate any of her mistakes or anything. Like, she's just like a statue.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No. You don't like that at all. I mean, you want a girl who's, I don't know, at least for me, I want a girl who's, like, fun, who's easy to get embarrassed by herself but doesn't care. She's self-confident in herself to overcome her most awkward phases of life. I'm an awkward dude just in general, so I don't want to be the only awkward one in the relationship. So I love it, dude. I love it. That's a great one. It's also like a sense of confidence, which is attractive.
Yeah, it shows that, I mean, that she has enough self-confidence in herself to not worry about what people think.
Yeah, and that is a huge, huge magnet.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. My last red flag is if she doesn't at least offer to pay on the second
date. Oh, my gosh.
On the second date. On the first date, I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to say, okay. That's okay. Like, this is tricky. This is a situation that's analyzed from both sides, and it's tricky. I'll give you a pass on the first date. And I'm going to pay, regardless of what she says, for the first three. I'm paying for the first three. No doubt about it. Don't worry about it. I could potentially also pay for four or five if I'm, like, really, really feeling it.
Right.
But
so
if on the second date she doesn't at least say, don't worry about it. You got it last time. I'll get it this time. I'm now thinking, what kind of deal is this? How conceited, how self-centered is this girl? How old school is she that she expects me to pay for everything? Like, just offer. You're not actually going to have to pay. I'm paying the whole thing for at least
three dates.
At least three dates, if not more.
But all they have to do is offer.
Give me the offer, dude. Like, give me the offer.
I have had this argument with my mom so many times just in the past 4 years because, like, and I told you this story when I went on that blind date to that coffee shop.
Yes.
She never offered to pay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, because like I said, we fully expect to pay. We will pay.
Yeah.
But you have to do the dance. You can't not, like.
Exactly.
There's a rhythm to this.
There is.
And I don't know what, at what point there was a generational cutoff. But my mom was like, no, girls should never expect to pay. I'm like, no, they shouldn't expect to, but they should still offer to.
Extend the offer. That's all I asked for. I mean, I've only been on two dates in my life, and she didn't offer on either of them. And both times I walked away, like when the check was brought and I put my card on, she didn't say anything. I just had that Seinfeld look on my face where I was like, huh, interesting. Like, you know, that look. Both times I was like, what is going on here? And then when I worked at my internship last summer, my boss, he was like 75, full of wisdom. He said, listen, when you meet a girl and you really, really like her, after the third or fourth date, all you have to do is say this. Listen, I really like you. I want to spend a lot more time with you. I'm not going to be able to spend the full bill every time. I want to spend more time with you. I really like you a lot. Can we go Dutch from now on? That's what he said. And he's like, listen, if she says yes, she's a keeper. That means she likes you. She's generous. She's kind. She understands. If she says no, well, then you're getting out of that relationship anyway. She's not worth it. I was like, that's a good point.
It's a great point. So. As I mean, it's so strange to me because, like, just growing up, you were raised, like, you know, be nice to everyone, you know, help each other out, share all this kind of stuff. But then suddenly you get in the dating world and you're like, oh, no, that's all you. That should be all you.
Exactly. And it's like, such a double standard.
What happened to all that other stuff? Yeah. So, and I haven't met a whole lot of girls like that, literally just the one. So I'm not sure, like, where this miscommunication comes from, but I just offer and then we're good. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So my last one, and then I had a bonus alternate that I didn't have to use. And we sort of touched on this actually earlier. She has some strange social media activity and I have a lot of subcategories, whether it's she posts way too much. She does some sort of daily picture challenge. She posts really, really long Facebook comments or statuses. And she has like one of those weird Odyssey blogs, like to the girl I used to be, or to the long lost lover in college, or something like that. Like, you just know.
An open letter to not my worth sixth it. Grade self.
Yes. Stop yes. There is just something wrong about seeing all that. You know, there's got to be some weird sort of social handicap that she lack has
of
somewhere.
Self-confidence, some sort of need for validation. Yeah. I'm in general anti-social media, and girls who need to go on there all the time, they're not attractive. If you have to post every day and get 3,000 likes, I don't care how hot you are, you're not attractive. So that's a great one. That's an absolutely fantastic one.
One of the most frustrating things to me is when I meet this really nice girl, this really cool girl, and I try to find her on social media and I can't. And I'm like, she'll always be a mystery. But like that, we enjoy that mystery.
Dude, that's a great point. It's also like if you can't find a girl on social media, you're like, wow, this girl doesn't do social media. Everyone does social media. Who is this girl and what has she figured out about life that no one else has?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. And the bonus alternate, she doesn't like watching movies.
Okay. Yep. I thought of it. I thought of that one. And that's very high on my list. That is a very high one on my list.
Yeah. As I mean, like to me, I never like, and I kind of understand it like knowledge wise. Like I understand why going to dinner and a movie isn't a very good first date, but I just love going to the movies. So I'm like, yeah, let's just go to the movies. That's great. It's going to be a great date. We're going to see a cool movie.
Yeah.
And there's the people that's like, oh, I don't watch movies.
It's just, no. Dude, I imagine my life with my wife, like Tuesday nights, every Tuesday, we go see a cheap movie, matinee price. That's just how I see my life. Yeah. Like, it's got to be a part of it, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it blows my mind there's people out there that don't watch movies. I don't understand how.
Like, there's so much to talk about.
You're just missing.
It's just like, that's such a big conversation piece in my life. If that just, like, doesn't get, if that little part of my life doesn't get tickled enough, like, that's not cool.
I completely agree. And, like, to sit there and say that watching Interstellar wasn't a beneficial experience to my life overall, it's a lie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lie.
Exactly, dude, exactly. Well, sweet, dude. That was fantastic. I've been trying to brainstorm new names. I've got nothing, really.
Me either.
The only thing that's popped in my head, and I hate it, I'll just throw it out there. It was like Four Horsemen, and then I was like, that sucks. Yeah, we can do better. That's the best
we can do better.
With. It's been a struggle. So I'm still working on it.
Okay, well, we have about a week-ish until we can actually... Yes. I have to have one. And I feel like I always operate better under pressure anyway. So anything pops in your head, let me know. I'm going to look into getting us a goat for next week. I'm really going to set a deadline, try to get somebody on.
Sounds good, dude. let's do it on our 14th episode. Two Clowns and a Goat actually has their first goat.
I feel like it'll work better now. We have a really good rhythm going. We have kind of, we sort of mostly have sort of segment breaks that we know where to go. So
you're right.
This is finally going to be where we hit our podcast
peak. Let's do it, dude. Let's do it. All right. So we'll be back next week. What a great episode, dude. What a good time this was.
That was great. All right. Let's hopefully this football game starts pretty soon.
Yep,
so we will see you guys next week.